Chapter 2 is probably the most beloved of the Christmas stories, and so I'd like to read it, beginning at verse 1. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up out of the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." We're looking at Christmas stories, and I'm sure all of us can think of a Christmas story, maybe a traveling to grandma's house or whatever. It sticks in your mind. We came from the Midwest, and So frequently there were weather problems, and so these kind of create some of the memories of these Christmas family stories. Well, this is kind of like that, only much more significant for all of us, because it really is our story. It's the story that God has recorded of the birth of His Son, the most important event in all of history, the coming of Christ into this world. He could not have died on the cross unless He had come. God became a man and came and lived among us. So I think it's proper and appropriate that we think about His birth and the lessons that there are for us in this. So I trust that we will pay attention to what God wants to say to each of us from this story that is very familiar. And sometimes the familiar stories in the Bible are the ones that we tend to overlook maybe the most, the meaning that's there for us. So what are some of the lessons of the journey that Jesus' mother and Joseph took to Bethlehem? Now you understand Joseph was not the father, that God was the father. If we believe what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit brought about this miraculous conception within Mary, this virgin who had never known a man. In fact, our scripture passage reflects that, where it says that Joseph was pledged to be married to her, but they had not come together yet as husband and wife. So there was a miracle here, a miracle child who was to be born. But meanwhile, there were a lot of problems here, as we'll look at. But first of all, I want us to notice the design of this journey. Now, every planned journey has a design. Now, some of our journeys are not planned, and so, you know, fraught with some perils that we did not anticipate. But this was a journey that was planned from all eternity. God intended to send His Son to be our Savior. You know that if you've read the book, the Bible. Genesis, for example, speaks of the one who would come, and the seed of the woman who would be our Savior. And there's this theme all through the Bible of God sending His Son. In fact, Micah 5:2 speaks of how Bethlehem would be the place for the birth of God's Son. So there was a design, a grand design, the grandest of designs, because this was God's plan to bring this journey about. I want us to think about the hard part of that journey. I think, like many of our journeys, really it's a metaphor of life, I suppose. A journey through this life has its hard places. I don't know that there was a harder place, though, than that occupied by Joseph and Mary and Jesus yet unborn, but soon to be born. It must have been a hardship to have taken a journey so late in Mary's pregnancy. And we would think, well, if there's any way to get out of it, get out of it. I mean, why not just exercise civil disobedience in a case like that? I don't know that that was an option at that time. And we might think, well, you know, why did God plan it that way? I don't know whether that thought's ever crossed your mind as you have found yourself in circumstances beyond your control, and you're wondering, you know, well, what plan does God have for me in all of this? I'm sure those kinds of thoughts must have crossed Joseph's and Mary's mind, being human as we are. They were sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all share in that, and certainly Mary and Joseph were no exceptions. But I think of what we're told in the New Testament. I'm thankful that we have this commentary on the Bible, really, that's in the Bible itself, where Paul writes, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, speaking of our humanity, that the power may not be of God, or may be of God, rather, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I was listening to this video, actually reading it. I hope you could read the words. It might have been a little small print there for some of you in the back. But this testimony of this man in Japan, who, this is the first time I've heard this, actually. was a businessman, and he was accused of malfeasance, and he ended up losing his job, but losing his home, living on the street, and was ready to commit suicide, throw himself in front of a train. I think I would think of another way to do it, but I mean, it shows how despairing he was. And apparently he had met this Christian named Josh and thought he had his phone number. He dialed it. And anyway, this started his turning to God, turning to Christ as the only Savior. And he trusted Jesus Christ and was born again. What a wonderful thing. And yet God brought him through this very hard experience in his life, that he might be brought to Jesus. I wonder if this isn't a lesson here for us. Mary and Joseph, sinners like all of us, needed to know this one who was to be born, as we all do. But it was a hard experience. It was also a heated experience, I want to suggest. Now, sometimes we are forced by circumstances to follow a course marked by God's design, but we may not recognize it as such. But God brings us into these places and these circumstances, if we believe what the Bible says, to bring us to know Jesus and to trust Him as our Savior, wholly. It appeared like evil was in control of the events of history. When we read this, the Roman governor made this decree, and it wasn't like some of our laws today where we think that, well, it's not really right, so I'm not going to obey it. Mary and Joseph understood that God works through the laws, through the powers that be in this world. And in fact, Peter speaks of that when he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, that we are to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as to supreme, as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So here I believe we see a good example of that in the case of Mary and Joseph. They recognized that God had his purposes, that this child to be born was to be a holy child, was to be a miracle child, really God become man. Mary was told that. Joseph was told that in a dream, that this was to be the Savior. So there are some wonderful lessons here, I believe, for us about God's design for our lives. The Bible says God is at work in us to bring about His good pleasure. Now, it may not seem that way. I don't think it seemed that way to Mary and Joseph. I don't think it seemed that way to those who were witnesses, first century witnesses to these events. But there's a grand design, first of all, in this journey. There was also the lesson of a departure. And it says that Joseph also went up from Nazareth to Bethlehem. He went up with Mary, who was expecting a child. So what about that departure? That departure from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and at this very difficult time for Mary and Joseph, what is the significance of that? It was significant. And I think of what the psalmist said. Actually, this is, I believe, Jesus Christ speaking through David in Psalm 40. And there, Jesus, and I can't think who else this could be, said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My eyes, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart." And so here we see, really looking back in eternity past, Jesus saying that I want to volunteer for this calling. Now, we understand that Jesus is God, that there was never a time that Jesus did not exist, because he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," really taking the name of God. But it shows the willingness of Jesus to make this departure of departures, to take this journey of journeys from eternity into time, and to walk here where we walk, and to feel our hurts and feel our pains. And I don't know that anyone could really say that except Jesus. I feel your pain. But he does because he walks. He walked where we walked. And so there's a great, great significance here in this departure. It shows an obedience here. Mary and Joseph obeyed the decrees of a human potentate. And again, that the Bible says that we are to submit to those who are in authority, because they are sent by God to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. Now that just says to me that I should be a law-abiding citizen. Now certainly if there comes a point where there's a law that says I cannot share my faith in Jesus, or we cannot meet together as Christians to fellowship with one another, to study the Word of God together, and to encourage one another as the Bible commands us to, we are first subject to a higher power than that earthly power. And we must say with the apostles, sometimes we must obey God rather than men. But otherwise, here there was really no reason why, except the inconvenience that they could not, Mary and Joseph could not obey the command, unreasonable as a man might be. So it I believe, is a lesson here for us. Obedience, patience. Many times we become impatient with the powers that be in this world. May we learn a lesson from the patience of Mary and Joseph and the yet unborn Christ child. The Bible says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now when it says you, that's you plural, and it means you all. I love that. You know, I love the you all, because it includes all of us there. We have need of patience. It's why God has told us that we must obey. We must obey those things, first of all, in his word. And above all, the commandment to come to Christ Jesus as our Savior. Paul said that God commands people everywhere to repent and to believe the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. I want us to think of a destination. I'm sorry I got these in the wrong order again. But we've looked at a design, a departure, and a destination here in this journey. I want us to look at the destination. In this passage there, it says that Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So I want us to just think a little bit about that destination that they arrived at. I mean, it wasn't like Waikiki, or in some ways like any place, a populated place. But this is a very rural area. Bethlehem was a very small town, very insignificant at that time. It's bigger now, but at that time it was just a little rural village in Judea, south of Jerusalem, I think about maybe 10 miles maybe. But in the Shepherd Hills there of southern Judea, I want us to think a little bit about the surroundings. Think about God sending his son to this very small rural place. There were no bright city lights, none of the attractions of today's tourist destination, certainly. Now, it's kind of a tourist destination now, I suppose, but because of what happened there, of course. But Jesus came to this place, I believe, to show his condescension. The Bible says that he came out of the ivory palaces. And I'll quote the passage. It's found in Psalms 45 and verse 8. And it says there of Jesus, all your garments smell of myrrh. Now, myrrh was an embalming spice. So this speaks of his death for us. All of your garments speak of myrrh and aloes and cassia. out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. So just let that come home to you, that Jesus came to where we are. Again, this you all idea includes all of us. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's really what Christmas should be all about. It's all about Christ. It's all about him. May we worship him. May we surrender to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which he is. But the furnishings of that place, I mean, this was not a motel room, even in a, I don't know, Motel 6. I don't know whether they have those here. That's kind of the cheap motel back on the mainland. We even had cheaper ones than that. Usually no-name motels. We had in Alturas, California, some that we probably wouldn't make any recommended list. Well, this was even below that. This was a manger. This was a place where, or actually a stable. The manger was the place where Jesus was laid, which was really a cattle feeding trough. One of the places where we lived was a farm in northwest Illinois. We actually didn't live on the farm. We lived in the farmhouse. But outside that farmhouse, there was an old barn. And sometimes I'd like to go out there and just take a look. And so one time I actually saw a manger out there. I didn't even know that they used those anymore. But maybe it was used in a Christmas pageant. I don't know. But it looked very authentic. But certainly nothing that I would want to lay, you know, our precious baby in. We had a baby there, our daughter. No, I think if we were to see it, we would be shocked at the rudeness of it, at the smells. I mean, you can just kind of use your imagination here. The furnishings of that place, he didn't have a fancy clothes, you know, like it wasn't like a hospital, it wasn't antiseptic. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. I suppose this was just whatever clause there happened to be there. The happenings. We live in a world that has a low tolerance for boredom. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I think maybe we just need to kind of slow down and then think of really what Christmas is all about. I know that we're, you know, trying to get everything done, all the shopping and, you know, writing letters, cards, or whatever we have to do. Family coming, or maybe we're going somewhere to family. All of this busyness of this season. I think it's why you're here this morning. And I appreciate that. And I believe God will just minister to us as we just think about the things of Christ, that we worship him in our hearts, that we, like the shepherds and the wise men, come to him and acknowledge who he is, this one who stepped out of eternity and into time and the journey of journeys to this world, this place where we live. And that he took somehow, the Bible says, in his own body on the cross, our sins, and died there as punishment for the sins that of all of us. And the Bible says that he is raised again for our justification. And he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And one day, the Bible says, every knee will acknowledge him and confess that he is Lord. But sadly for many, it'll be too late. It's why God has given us this present time, this age of grace, to accept this message, this good news of God becoming a man, dying on a cross, rising again for us.